Blog Talk Radio. This podcast is brought to you by the Phantom Gallery Chicago Network, an artist-run project that exhibits the non-traditional gallery settings. The Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening. Hello and good morning. We're going to have our third installment of Oasis in the Woods, Art and Wellness, a conversation with Gabrielle Gillian. Hi, Gigi.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going pretty well. I'm super excited to be speaking with you today, definitely. How are you?
Yeah, great. I'm really rested, I should say. And I've been taking your advice in terms of getting rest. And I kind of wanted to talk to you today about just that, your pause portal that you presented at Oasis in the Woods. And but before we begin that conversation, I want you to introduce yourself and talk about your holistic wellness and what you do as a curator and a certified vinyasa yoga teacher?
Vinyasa.
Okay, vinyasa.
Yeah, I'd love to. My name is Gigi. I am, I guess, first and foremost, a yoga teacher. So I am certified to teach vinyasa yoga, which is the most, I know a lot of folks don't know the different types of yoga, but vinyasa is the most popular in the U.S. So that's typically what you think of when you see, people on a mat, like, flowing through poses. And that's really what vinyasa is about. It's about the flow. It's about the not just the experience of the poses, but also the experience of transitioning between poses. And, the more you do it, the more you're able to kind of flow through that. And that is how it gets its name. In addition to that, though, I kind of am a holistic wellness educator. I curate experiences that make people think, which I've never called art, but I feel like is actually art. I also do some social justice work and am always just trying to learn about life through other people, through nature, through ancient wisdom. And so I'm always using those things to create ease, create empowerment, and ultimately create liberation for people, which is how I've gotten to this rest work through that healing practice for myself and for others. So, I have been teaching yoga for a while and was doing actually food access work for a while in the nonprofit sector. And then in 2021, with everything going on in the world and with my own experience of burnout from working in nonprofits and also just like being a Black woman in the world, right? I started on this journey of like making healing my main priority. And I meant that both as my own healing and using my experience going through my own healing process to help others. I found it a way that I could do work that felt fulfilling, which the work I was doing felt fulfilling in some ways, but it wasn't pouring back into me in a natural and organic way. And the way that I kind of show up as a healer requires me to work on myself, to take care of myself, and to really be in tune with myself. And so it felt like a better path for me in that time. And since then, I have been very grateful to myself for making that decision.
You know, I wanted to kind of rewind, put a pause on this, like pause portal, and rewind back to your social justice advocacy work, and that's something I didn't know about you prior to meeting you during the our planning period in the Oasis in the Woods art and wellness, you know, project, I didn't know about your social justice advocacy work. Can you, you know, talk a little bit about that?
Sure, yeah. I would say that I got in, like, more involved with it right before moving to the DMV. And at that point, I was kind of just, like, going to rallies and kind of getting, just, like, getting politically educated and trying to find ways that I could plug in. And then essentially the main thing that started to kind of seem like part of my work was political education and mutual aid. And so I was finding ways to educate the public about what was going on, the power that we have as members of society. And that was a really big part for me, is like empowering people to know that they can make a change in the world. And then also just community care and mutual aid, which really showed up in the form of creating systems where people could get what they needed. So whether that was, I did a lot of work with the houseless communities within the DC area. So we have these little like tent cities in different parts of DC that one are people who are living on the street and need resources. So I was helping organize regular drop-offs to them, where we would not only drop off like materials, but we would have conversations with people. We'd sit down. We had like chess tables set up. We would, you know, just like hang out and eat together and talk about like what their needs were and like what their experience was, and then be able to kind of work with each other to make some of those things, you know, some of the issues that they were dealing with become alleviated. So whatever that meant, that sometimes it was us bringing things for them, like candles to heat up their tents in the wintertime, or blankets or food. Other times it was, hey, the city is coming to quote unquote clean up this street that we're on. And a lot of times that ends up being them just like pulling up all of like our homes basically and throwing them out, and us losing a lot of our stuff. And, you know, could you come here and advocate for us? And so that was also part of that work. And so I was doing that for a while. During the pandemic, I continued some mutual aid work, during the height of the pandemic, I continued some mutual aid work. And what I was finding as I was working spaces, which very similar to the nonprofit world, is that a lot of people who were putting out a lot of effort weren't really taking care of themselves, or were like on the front lines, you know, like advocating for others, advocating for themselves, advocating for their communities, and not really doing the soul work that it takes to rejuvenate themselves. So there was a lot of burnout there too. There was a lot of kind of toxic relationships because people were just not well, like activists were not well. And so that even is some of the things that inspired me to go into healing work, is that I was like, okay, like I see the work we're doing, but there's like some soul work that's kind of needed under, then there's like undercurrent of like a lack of soul work. And I just wanted to be able to be a resource for people. So I joined a organization that was called, and I hope I can remember it, it's not quite as active anymore, but it was like Healers for Liberation or something like that. I might be missing a word. And it was a network of healers who were specifically interested in doing work with activists, with community members who are on the front line in some way, and creating experiences where they can release, where they can rest, and not feel guilty, you know what I mean? Like where they can talk about the things that they were working through as they were doing this work, so that they could kind of, you know, get something back as they were doing this like kind of fighting. They would have this like respite, they would have somewhere to reset, somewhere to center their joy, so that, you know, because in social activism, a lot of times our anger takes the front seat because we're angry about the things that are not going right. But also like giving them time to find their joy, to find you know, that sometimes just a whole bunch of, you know, folks who are dealing with oppression in whatever ways they are coming together and just having a good time together is a piece of liberation. That is a piece of us, you know, fighting for our rights because we have the right to joy as well. So that's a little overview of my experience.
That's a lot of overview of your experience because while you were talking in my, I was making these notes and I looked at, because one of our questions on in the investigation here was social activism. And so it's really interesting how you were at the intersection of social activism and environmental justice and how they intersect together, mm-hmm. leading you to doing this other type of work. And that other type of work is the work that you brought to our environmental installations there at the Juniper's Garden in Brandywine, Maryland. So can you mm-hmm. talk a little bit about what led you here on your journey? Because you left this journey, you know, with the social activism, you know, you started, you know, this is your trajectory, and you started, mm-hmm. you know, this work, and then now you identified the basis or the root of the problem and how to empower yourself to recharge. You know, and can mm-hmm. you now come into the environmental justice work that you are doing and what you presented at our wellness retreat?
Sure. Thank you. Yeah, I would love to. All of my experience kind of led towards this. Like you said, it's kind of like this trajectory that I found myself on, and I'm just kind of following spirit, honestly. And so when we were asked the question, I think the question that was posed to us was, like, how do we create sustainable community, or how do we create sustainable living places for our community?
The question is, how can the community... Yeah, how can the community help you to restore and support healthy ecosystems and environmental justice within your local communities?
Yes, thank you so much for reading it. So in that question, I started thinking about sustainability, and I really wanted to center humans because that's how I work with humans. I do work with the environment, but... you know, I work closely with, like, how people are feeling and how we are showing up in the world and how that interacts with our environment. And so my first thought was, like, we need rest. Like, all of us are exhausted, you know. So much work is going on and so much effort is being put forth. And it is sometimes in the name of survival, sometimes in just kind of the psyche of like living in a society that is built on capitalism. So you have to, like, you know, be focused on, you know what I mean? You're given that kind of push towards action all of the time. And what I thought about was, like, for us to really sustain ourselves, we have to do things like sleep. We have to do things like daydream. We have to do things like sit down for a bit and just not be productive one day. And I've seen that in my own life of how now that I am, like, working for myself, I can have a little bit more of control over what my schedule looks like. And I can really schedule in days where I'm just, like, focusing more on my rest or, you know, kind of threading that through my day. Of, like, okay, I have a meeting at this time, I have a meeting at another time, I can rest in between. And so I wanted to center that for the festival because as we, like, think of nature and things like that, I want us to remember that, like, we are nature. And so my answer to the sustainability question is of how the community can restore and support a healthy ecosystem is really more rest, is more slowing down, is more... being aware of what is around us, being, you know, like that time that it takes to be aware of what is around you, right? You can't really do that as you're, like, running around and doing a whole bunch of things and multitasking. And even I think there's been kind of scientific proof that multitasking doesn't even really exist, right? Like you're not ever doing multiple things at once. You're always just switching back and forth between things. And that does not actually create the most clarity of mind in either of the things that you're trying to do. And so it was really a call to slow down, to rest, to like I said, daydream, to think of things, to maybe just not think of anything and be present with yourself. And so the pause portal really was, the idea was to kind of walk into this space, and you could only see the inside of it from the entrance and the exit. And so there was like sheets around the side to kind of cover. And the idea was to walk into the space and take time to pause. And that could look like anything from a few deep breaths before you walk all the way back out of the exit. Or that could look like, you know, a nap or a meditation or laying down for a moment or having a quiet conversation with your child or whatever it may be for you. There's so many types of rest. I don't want to make it seem like rest is only sleep, because sleep is one major important part of rest. But I think there's a lot of restful activities that can happen. And the way that it was set up, I had like a little homage in the beginning to my paternal grandmother, because she was so resourceful. And, you know, she didn't have much, but she would always like, she's one of those people where like she won't let you leave your house without taking something with you. So it was just like there was this air of abundance from her, even though I knew she didn't have much. But you know what I mean? Like she would still, it was like, you let me make you something to eat. Let me, oh, I have a shirt that your aunt grew out of. Like maybe you can fit it. You know what I mean? Like there was always something. And part of her kind of almost claim to fame was that she would use things around the house as flower pots. So she would use, like my favorite one is my grandpa's sneaker. And it was like there was a hole in the top of his sneaker. And so she, you know, has a plant coming out of the foot of the sneaker and then a plant coming out of the little hole. And you know what I mean? And now there's this like beautiful piece of artwork that is like highlighting resilience and resourcefulness that I thought was just like so beautiful. And so I wanted that like energy to be in the space. So that was kind of at the threshold when you walked in, to think of ourselves as that sneaker, right? Like even when we have these times when we're like stressed out or retired or we feel broken, like how can we grow something new from that space? How can we you know, patch ourselves up and move forward. And then inside we had a kind of like a mandala of mullein leaves and a little bit of like a little design in the middle. It's hard to put some of the things that
really
were there.
Did that. Yeah, you really did that tastefully. I really like the way you keep saying you're not an artist, but I really like the way you designed the portal and making that the center. And I found out mm-hmm. more about, because I'm not an herbalist, you know, mm-hmm. by any means, but I found mm-hmm. out so much about that plant just in the conversations with Carol, Auntie Carol, the conversations mm-hmm. that you had in terms of its municipal properties.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about why you chose that plant and why you put it in the center?
Sure, yeah. It was first, I mean, the design was to create some, like, ceremony, some art, like giving rest a little bit more of, like, an honorable open, right? That was kind of part of it. But also, like you said, the plant mullein that I used, which is so funny because I really just started out with mullein because I was like, it's so soft. It has, like, a very soft kind of fluffy feeling on the leaves. So, you know, I was thinking texture to start. But then the more that I read about it, it also is and I actually have used it before for respiratory things. It's a very good supporter of your respiratory system, whether it's mullein tea or adding some mullein to like an herb that you smoke or anything like that is really good for your respiratory system. And I was thinking, you know, we're going to be in here taking deep breaths, and I want the energy of the mullein to kind of support those breaths, because I always tell people that your breath is the anchor to the present moment. So as soon as you start to feel anxious or maybe you're just distracted, when you realize that you've, you know, gotten distracted or gotten anxious or feeling these things in your body, you can become present almost immediately by just taking a really deep breath in through your nose and letting it out through your nose or mouth. And so that was kind of the basis. But then the more I like learned about mullein as I was, and this is kind of like I had already decided I was going to use it. It's also a plant that is said in a, on a metaphysical level that it like helps support your body through transition. And it also helps you specifically move through a transition of like feeling kind of muddied or exhausted or kind of like honestly burnt out on a soul level, and helps you pick, and it literally said this, pick back up the pieces of your spirit and move forward stronger. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I want this to do for people. Like that was the whole point, is that they're coming from their lives, a lot of those folks coming from the city. And I want them to come into this space and breathe fresh air and interact with the mullein and maybe think about rest a little bit differently for a moment, and then walk out the exit and feel renewed, feel rejuvenated, feel like in some way, even if it's a small way, they've like kind of picked up the pieces of their spirit again, and they can go into the rest of the installations with like these fresh eyes. And so that was the inspiration behind the mullein, and I'm so glad. And I really planned to have a little bit more to it, but once I put the mullein down, I was like, this is perfect. Like simplicity was a huge part of it for me, like rest even in my creation of it. Like I'm going to do some effort, of course, but I don't have to do too much, because the whole point of this is that it is a space that can hold folks. And I was really glad to see, like, during the festival, like, coming past there and people just, like, laying in there or talking or reading a book, because I had put some resources in there. So, yeah, that was...
It was real cool how
that almost
you,
felt like it was
had it
the
set
mullein
up like
came to me.
Yeah, it was really cool how you had everything set up. When I say cool, because when you approach your installation, it was a built environment. You know, mm-hmm. where Blaine had, you know, built the poles that you needed. You know, I had did some spiritual work up in Auburn, California, and the medicine woman and the shaman that came, they planted these reeds in the land that we were working. And it seemed to mm-hmm. me that was something that you all did when you created your, you know, portal. You put these mm-hmm. even eight poles that served as
right.
rods to me that were placed in the ground, you know, where your energy points and then your center. And so I just think that just even approaching it and the simplicity of, you know, salvaging sheets and fabric, you know, to cover and block out, you know, some of the sunlight, but having the top open so that the energy of the sun came through, mm-hmm. you know, was just, you know, it was just a lot of ingenuity that went into something that was very simple, you know, and the simplicity of sitting down, resting. And something else that happened inside the portal where I know I was very anxious and I couldn't. Mm-hmm. And you were telling me that mm-hmm. people still need, it's a process in mm-hmm. learning how to sit still, to be able to rest,
yeah.
you know. And,
right.
you know, I was sitting there next to you and I was fidgeting the whole time because, you know, at comfort level or just being still or being, you know, like, you know, so from that, you know, I started mm-hmm. going into my other space, my own space, and just sitting there. You know, taking a moment to just sit there, you know, and that was, you know, things that a lot of carryover from what I experienced with you in the portal and how I hear other friends of mine or other artists or people that are doing this work and how they tell me, oh, I'm just waking up from a nap. Like, how? How can you in the middle of the day take a nap or sit here and rest? So I'm starting within my own space you know, is set up, I have an area set, you know, where I can just go over here and sit down and just do nothing. You know what I mean? I've started doing that since I, you know, I'm getting more in tune to thinking about doing that because the conversation of rest had come to me before. And one of your resources, your resource books, it's on the Arthur, I don't remember her name, perhaps you do because it's part of your...
Trisha Hersey?
Yes, you know, and you have some of her books in your collection and books that you left there in the space for folks to, you know, take a look at. You know, so, yeah, you know, just the, that's the takeaway, you know, and unanticipated impacts that come, again, from the work that we do. And then, so I'm going to ask you this question, and you may have already answered it and everything. How will we rebuild our communities to be stronger and recreate sustainable living places?
So I think my concise answer to that question is really that we will take time to rest. We will allow ourselves to be humans, and more importantly, human beings, not just human doings. And also remember that the idea of community is really active, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it has to take a lot of effort. Like I think of community as a verb in some ways. It's sitting with folks. It's checking in on folks. It's, you know, maybe napping together, who knows, or even the support of meditation together or the things like having this conversation. Like this has taken very little effort on my part. Actually, I don't know how much effort it takes on your part, but you know what I mean? Like at least the 30 minutes we're together, it's like kind of a energizing experience. It feels like a form of rest almost. And so I think that that is how we, by remembering that we're humans and that we're part of nature and then moving from that space, wherever that takes us.
So, I mean, that's excellent, you know, and really well stated, you know, and a mantra, if you will, of the work that you're doing. And then, you know, we have a few minutes left, you know, if you want to kind of wrap it up and talk about what's next for you. What are you in your practice? What's next?
Yeah. So that's a wonderful question. And some of that I'm still figuring out, but I know a few things for sure. One is that I want to keep this conversation going. And ways to kind of be part of that with me is I have, as far as like the way that I communicate with the public, is I have an Instagram account that is at liminal.grace, and I'm sure we can put that in the show notes. I also have my email list that you can join by just going to liminalgrace.com, and there's a little form that you can fill out. And then... lastly, I am beginning a, my website, liminalgrace.com. And if it's not up there, let me know. I'm in the middle of transitioning it from one platform to another, so I could be wrong about that, but I'll make sure. At least on my Instagram, I know there's a link to it in my, so we can maybe put that link up. And then the last thing, which actually is kind of, is starting soon, like by the time people listen to this, it may be up actually, is that I am starting a Patreon, and that is a way for folks to support the work that I'm doing, but also be involved in the work that I'm doing. So there I'll be having specific content for my Patreon subscribers, and as well as like some question and answer sessions, some classes, and different ways that we can incorporate rest into our healing work, as well.
The Phantom Gallery Chicago Network, an artist-run project that exhibits the non-traditional gallery setting. The Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening.
Well, thank you, Gigi, for being our guest today, and we sure will do a follow-up conversation with you.
Beautiful. Thank you.